Good to see everybody out tonight. If you are visiting with us, we are in our book, Excellence in Praise and Worship, on Lesson 2.6, God's Chosen People, under the section, A Royal Priesthood. That's real appropriate, so look forward to that discussion tonight. And we're going to get our class started off by having Daryl, if he would, word of prayer for us, and then we'll get into the lesson.
If you bow with me, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee thanking You for the wonderful gifts that You give us. Your love, Your Son's sacrifice on the cross. Heavenly Father, we also want to thank You for this word that we're going to study tonight, that we look to it and the things that we do and how we act, that we put these things before our eyes as we go about our lives and become better Christians, are better able to answer the question for people if they come to us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we always have our heart right when we worship with each other, that we are here to worship You and not to glorify ourselves. Heavenly Father, be with us through this service. And Heavenly Father, pray that we are good examples to our kids, that they come to class and that they learn the same thing as we are learning. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Daryl, thank you for that thoughtful prayer. I appreciate that. Okay, here we are. And that's actually supposed to be 2.6. My bad. Sorry about that. Mistake. But God's chosen people. So the question is, who reminds us of who we are as we think about this topic? Who reminds us of who we are? Good question, right? Well, Paul did a lot of it when he was writing the letters, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute as an example. But what about us? Who reminds you of who you are? Ryan? Your wife does? Does she? On a regular basis? That's a good woman, man. That is a good woman. What else? What? God's Word, Bill says, reminds us of who we are. What else reminds us of who we are? Our brothers and our sisters, shouldn't we always be doing everything we can to encourage one another in our faith? Shouldn't we? I mean, it can be something as simple as a telephone call, a text, reaching out to somebody to say something to them. But let's look at Paul. I mean, Paul did this when he was writing the letters to the churches, and he would remind them of the kind of relationship that he had with them, but then he would also remind them of what they were supposed to be. If you look at Romans, and grab your Bible and look at some of these verses with me, because I'm going to look at a lot of different things tonight. Romans, the first chapter. I've got some of it typed out here, so if you want to turn over there, you can. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he started that way in a lot of the letters that he wrote, in the way that he communicated with them, thinking about the grace that was extended to the saints that are at that place. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Would that have been encouraging for them to have heard that, you think? You think they would be encouraged by hearing that from Paul in a letter that he writes to them? I would think so. Do you think does it feel good if, David, if you hear people say something about, I hear good things about West End. Doesn't that make you feel good when, you know, you're part of a congregation where people hear good things about West End with regard to us being a church and being what God wants us to be. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 2, that's another place you can look at, and they're similar to the second letter there, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he has a thanksgiving prayer for them, verses 4 through 9. And he's basically talking about that relationship that he has with him and them and who they are and what they are and how they live their lives. If you go over to Galatians, in the initial verses, he's saying grace and peace again. But then if you go to a Galatians, turn over there with me, if you will. Go to Galatians, the first chapter. He reminds them of who they are and where their salvation came from in 3 through 12. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and the Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. I marvel. Now, what's going on here? Is he's thanking God for the blessings and the blessings that they have of one another. But what's he going to do and start in verse 6? He's what? He's going to admonish them. He's going to admonish them. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what you've received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He admonishes them about their relationship with God and the fact that they are so quickly deterred from the truth. So, the key text for the lesson is Colossians 3, 12 through 17. We're going to look there, but I'm also going to look at Ephesians, the first chapter in verses 3 through 14, where it also talks about those that are chosen of God. So why was it important for them to have a reminder? Why was it important for him to do the things that he did, talking about the relationship they had with one another, talking about the relationship that they had with God, reinforcing the things that they were doing well, but also admonishing them on the things that need to be corrected? Why was that important? Keep them in line with God's will. Again, an admonition to remain faithful to God's will. So how do we do that today? How does that happen to us today? How is that manifest, that reminder manifest to the church at West End today? Of helping us be where we need to be and be the kind of people that we need to be. How are we reminded of that? Preaching, teaching, studying the Word, edification that we have with one another. How are you going to be edified by your brother if, and this is at a very base level. Somebody have their hand up over here? Okay, Jim. How are you going to be edified at a very base level if we don't show up? And I'm not saying that that's all there is to it, but I'm saying that's part of it. Mr. Whiteside.
Well, in Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 10.
Hold it up there a little closer.
Could be 12, but talks about encouraging and edify and each other.
Yes.
We've got to use that same example to encourage and edify each other. and it talks about esteeming others higher than self.
Right.
You know, all those things. You know, we all like to be encouraged.
Absolutely.
We all need encouragement. So, that's in Hebrews chapter 10.
Yeah, so, and the other way that plays out is, you know, we're here on the first day of the week, and we meet on Sunday morning for a Bible study and a worship service. Then we have another service on Sunday night. And then we meet again on Wednesday night, tonight, for another Bible study. Why we do that, Johnny? Yeah, to gain knowledge and have fellowship with one another. To gain knowledge and have fellowship with one another. Yeah, go ahead. Mic him up there, Daryl.
When some of our members are hurting, like our brother Ethel, what he's going through right now, we need to help and encourage. And when things go well with people, we need to rejoice with them also.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, again, we are God's chosen people. So as God's chosen people, does he have expectations of us? Does God have expectations of us? Yeah? Okay, come on, y'all. Jump in here. Yes, what kind of expectations does he have of us? If you had to name three things and you thought about what the most important thing is, what does he say the most important thing is, and what does he say the second most important thing is? And then when we look at the life of Christ, what would be the third most important thing? What's the most important thing? Absolutely. Matthew 22:37. And what's right after that, Travis? Love our neighbor as ourselves, and that's verse 38. And then if we get those two right, and we are trying to live that way every day, what's the other thing that Christ tells us we're supposed to do as part of his ministry? What does it say that we're supposed to do? Seek and save the lost. Matthew 28:18-20. And so, you know, that's the other thing. We have to look at ourselves and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? How are we doing as a church? Do I put God first? And how do I measure that? And do I really show love to everybody, to my neighbor? Do I really show love to my neighbor? And then am I doing anything at all to try and evangelize the truth like we were commissioned by our Lord to do? So Johnny's again, you've got another one there, Daryl.
Yeah, and then there's one other one that's definitely the hardest for me.
Get it up there, Daryl. It's definitely the hardest for me. Okay.
Is love our enemies.
Love our enemies.
That's a tough one.
But we have to. We don't have any choice in not doing it, right? Yeah. And again, that's an important part of it too, Johnny, is being honest with ourselves about what's tough for us, to be able to know what we do have to do to make sure that we're pleasing to God. So let's look at Colossians 3:12-15 and some of the things that it talks about there. Again, grab your Bible and let's go over there and read it. See, we're practicing what we talked about, public scripture reading. Okay, Colossians 3:12-17 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so some of the things that we want to think about with regard to that. When we leave the house every day, I mean, we put on our clothes to clothe our body. Nobody's going to leave the house not clothed, right? Jim? Yes. Right. Ephesians 6:11 was what he was talking about, the armor of God, and how we take that and make that a part of who we are every day. And that's another way to think about being clothed in. I mean, physically we clothe ourselves every day because that's what we need to do. We need to be physically dressed. But it's more important to be spiritually dressed when we clothe ourselves in the way that God would have us to do that. And when we think about the character that is supposed to be a part of who we are, and we think about being chosen people, and when we all look at this right here and we kind of do a self-assessment, and we're thinking about our character and our personality, and think about all of those things as you go about your average day. Okay? So the question is, do people really want to be around you? Or when people interact with you, and I know we've got lots of people that work remote now, and some people still have jobs where they are out in the workforce and everything else, but we're even around our spouses if we're not out in the workforce. What do people think about us? We are the chosen of God. Does that get reflected in the way we live our lives every day? Do we look like the chosen of God? Do we act like the chosen of God? If we do a self-assessment, is that who we are? And when you think about those things, who is that a reflection of from a character standpoint? Jesus. Absolutely. So it's, you know, us trying to do the very best that we can to put on Christ to the best of our ability. Yes, David's got one. Come on down here, Daryl. Yes, sir.
I've often thought about your previous list. I've often thought about. I think about how I treat people in the context of if once we walked away from one another, if I were to turn around and say, would you be interested in studying the Bible? Would they think that I'm somebody they really think, yeah, that guy may know something about it.
Right.
He's rude,
that's
crude.
That's a good point.
You can just go on and on. And these things, when it describes even to love your enemies, that's not talking about us having affection. It's talking about us having being kind and patient toward them and courteous, just ordinary, some real, I hate to call them ordinary.
Right.
But that's what those characteristics describe Jesus. They ultimately describe God.
Yes.
And so, I mean, so how do I reflect him in my interaction with others so that if I started talking about the Bible, they'd say, stop, buddy. You're just a hypocrite.
Good point. You know, and it's funny sometimes. I mean, have you ever heard people make an excuse for, oh, that's just my personality? Or this is business or whatever. You know, if that's the case, if that's my personality, or that, then I need to reassess how I'm going about representing myself if I am someone that's chosen. Let's continue with the other things that it talks about there. Bearing one another, forgiving one another, forgive someone as Christ forgave you. Put on love, the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay, somebody unload that for me. Unpack that for me. What does all that mean? That's a current saying, right? Unpack it. What does that mean? Bearing with one another. What does that mean? Long-suffering. don't be quick to take offense. Boy, how easy is it sometimes for us to just immediately, we're ready to jump down somebody's throat because we think they've said something against us. Where does that come from? Forgiving one another. Ever heard that old saying, well, I'll forgive them, but I'm not going to forget it. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands for anybody that's ever thought that. But it's easy to do. Isn't it easy? It's the humanness in us coming through. Forgive someone as Christ forgave you. Boy, that really gets it right down to...
These are Christ on the cross characteristics.
Yeah, David said these are Christ on the cross characteristics. That's a good way to frame it when you think about his ability to forgive. And you think about him on the cross and what he was willing to do. Put on love, the bond of perfection. How is love the bond of perfection? How is love the bond of perfection?
Without it, nothing else matters.
Without it, we can't be complete. The bond of perfection or completion. Are we going to be perfect? No, there's no way we can. But do we pursue perfection in trying to follow and live by the character that is outlined for us and what Christ taught during his ministry in this world? Travis, yeah, I could tell you just, you were just... Go ahead.
And health.
Start all over.
Your best.
Hold it up there closer.
So, without love, the body can't be complete. The body of Christ is fractured and divided and ineffective if we do not put on love.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's more than just what it can do for me individually. It's what it does for the body collectively.
Well, and it goes back to what we were talking about a while ago. Number one, number two, if God's not first and we don't love, then we can't have the bond of perfection and we can't make the church what it needs to be. We can't have that oneness that we need to have with one another. And then finally, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Again, these are some very deep thoughts that we need to consider as it relates to our lives and how we're doing with it. Because we're the only one, along with God in heaven, that knows. Now, if you work with anybody, have you ever been in a situation before where somebody says, that guy's a Christian or that gal's a Christian? Y'all ever seen that before? That's we don't want that to be said about us. That's not who we want to be or who we want to be thought of as. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. Again, it's just a kind of back at that one. So how do we do with that? And if we don't think we do very well with it, how do we fix it? If we don't think we're good at forgiveness, how do we fix it?
Go to God in prayer,
John says, for sure. That is absolutely true. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask him to give you strength to do that and understand that you can't be forgiven if you don't forgive. To David's point of Christ on the cross. Go back to Calvary. Go back to Calvary. So, are there any exceptions for not forgiving somebody? Are there any exceptions for not forgiving somebody? Gerald over here.
You know, too many times when we're saying we can't forgive, we're thinking about the negative and mad or how we've been betrayed or whatever it is. And what we need to do, and it's hard, but look at it in a different situation. Has there been any good that's come out of this? Have I learned anything from this? Is this, you know, is there any positive? You know, Jesus died on the cross, which is horrible. But because of that death, we're all able to go to heaven someday with him. And he understood the good that came out of this horrible thing. And in our lives, there are many bad things that are going to happen and things we would really want to hate people for. But I promise you, there's probably good, if you look at it the right way, that has come out of that, which will allow you, hopefully, to forgive.
Yeah, that's a good point. And again, if we've been forgiven, why would we not forgive? What makes us to where we cannot forgive? Sarah? No?
I think we also need to remember sometimes forgiveness is a choice we have to make every day. It's not a one and done.
No, that's good.
Sometimes you wake and love's the same way. You have to choose to love. You have to choose to forgive. And sometimes it's a day by day thing. So.
No, that's a great point. That is a great point. I mean, and we really do need to. It's like I was talking about when I say when we clothe ourselves, when we go out for the day, it kind of relates to you got to choose to put on love. You got to choose to put on forgiveness. You've got to choose to make those things part of who we are. Okay. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And again, we've talked about that. If we're going to try to be the perfection that God expects us to pursue or complete in Him, then we've got to be committed to that in our lives every day to the best of our ability. And we can't please God if we don't love, if we don't put on love, if we don't forgive. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. All right, what about that? How does that happen? Verse 15 says that we are called into oneness of God through the body of Christ, and being in the body of Christ offers us the only real peace that we can achieve while we're in this life and prepare us for eternity. You ever have stress in your life and the only way you can find peace is through God? Really bad things happen? I know personally that that's something that you've gone through real recently, Debbie. I mean, the only peace you could have was through God, right? Yeah. And so anytime we go through a tough time, do you ever recognize how important that peace is that you have through God and you can only have it through Him? And I think we need to think about that and understand that if we truly understand that when turmoil comes in life, we can work through it with God. But if you don't have God and turmoil happens, it's an absolute mess. It is an absolute mess in somebody's life. Yes. Trials. Right.
Even though, you know, we may think, oh, they know what they're doing. The deep sense is they don't know.
Yeah.
But we know because we know who we are.
So James chapter 1 and the trials that we know we're going to experience in life. Yeah. And then just understanding who we are, what we are, and approach things from the way that we need to be able to get through them. Yes.
You know, how much do we think God's word
is? Daryl, you're getting a workout, dude. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, David. Here's the mic.
How much does God worry? He didn't worry about anything.
Right.
And we need to piggyback onto that. That's how we can have peace. And you know, I think about in Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing."
Right.
"But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension," it does, it passes my comprehension.
Yes.
"But the peace of God that passes all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And I don't know. I must say, I had to mature a lot in order to...
Yeah.
to understand.
I understand. Pass that microphone to that lady right there next to you, please.
Well, one of the things that came to mind with the comment that was made earlier, being moment by moment, is that when I was in the deepest place with some of the challenges that
recently.
It's that moment by moment thing, clinging to God with hymns and verses and the messages that were sent. And it's knowing that you've got God there with you that makes the difference, and you can't wait till you're in the middle of something to have that. You've got to do the stop, drop, and roll thing and be prepared so that when it does come, you've got it, because you're going to need it to sustain you. I mean, I can't tell you how often I just stared at the clock, and it was just a constant reminder to me that I had to remind myself that God was with me, and sing the hymns in my heart and having those things sustain me. But it was tough.
I'll bet.
And not saying that to complain or look for sympathy, but if I didn't have that when I went into this, I would have been lost.
Right. And that's another one of the benefits of being God's chosen, of having that relationship with Him. In the verse 16 there, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus through His authority, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And again, if we think about those things, and we think about how important songs, hymns, spiritual songs are for one another, but even as you've expressed, Debbie, individually, when we get in a place where that can be a real source of encouragement to us in our relationship with God one-on-one. But then he goes on to say how important it is that in our lives, as the people that he would have us to be, whatever we do, that we do it by the authority of Jesus. And that should be reflected in our lives in the way that we live every day. So again, go back to how we're doing. And, you know, really, we have to kind of evaluate ourselves individually. One of the points that the author of the book makes with regard to this next one is Matthew 12:43-45. And it's a parable where it basically talks about an unclean spirit leaving, returns to see that the house is empty and swept, put in order, and seven evil spirits return. So what's that talking about? What is it? What is our mind with regard to who we are and how we go about living our lives every day? We have to set our mind on things above, not on things of this earth. And our mind has got this big funnel. Just imagine this big funnel at the top of your brain that leads straight to your heart, and understand that everything that you allow to be funneled into our minds and our hearts determines who we're going to be and what we're going to be every day. And to Sarah's point, it's a daily thing that we always have to be. Well, I do. I don't know about you. I don't know that you... I don't think I can just put it on autopilot. Donna's got a comment. I don't think I can just put it on autopilot and say, I got all this figured out. It is a daily thing with me, and I sometimes do better than I do other times, but I've always got to be trying to do the very best that I can. Ms. Donna?
I always think about Daniel when he was asked to eat the food, that it says he purposed in his heart. Well, that just didn't happen overnight. He had already been living that lifestyle and worshiping God and praising God. So when the hard parts came, he knew what to do. He had already purposed it.
That's good. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to some of the other comments that have been made that reinforces it well, too. But again, that's when the tough times do come. If we have purpose in our heart, then that's when it's easier to deal with those tough times that come along. So, Ephesians 1:3-14, are we predestined? Absolutely. Absolutely, we are predestined. No doubt about it. And I said it this way, predestination is predetermined conditionally for those who are faithful and follow God's word to do His will. Predestination is predetermined by whether or not God's figured it out. And He knows who is going to be predestined to be with Him for eternity. The rest of it's on us. The rest of it is on us. Does that mean that we can do anything we want to do and get away with it and everything's going to be okay? It does not. It does not. If we're going to be predestined to be with Him for eternity, then there are responsibilities that we have in being who He would have us to be. In verse 3, it talks about our spiritual blessings come through Christ in the heavenly realm that Christ is exalted to. We have the opportunity to share with Him if we remain faithful. But we have to remain faithful. We have to be committed to His will and His word and do the best that we can to try and live by it every day. Salvation is not earned. It is through the grace of God that we have. But obedience is an expectation that God has of us. And I like this thought. God, through Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, and we share in being in that heavenly realm if we are in Him and we remain remain faithful unto our physical death. And why is that hard sometimes? You ever see people that they've been a Christian their entire life, and at the last phase of their life, they begin having a hard time through something? Maybe they lose a loved one. Maybe it causes them to question their faith, or anything happens that causes, maybe they lose their health and it causes them to question their faith. What do we do about that? How do we deal with that? You know? How do you do that, David? Well, here comes Daryl. He's running, too. I wish you could see this.
Well, we need to understand that our perspective is much, much different than God's.
Oh.
I mean, we can hurt, we can be discouraged and all sorts of things, and we think about this short moment in time that we're here. God sees from eternity to eternity, and He says, "You just don't know what I have waiting for you." And so, to me at least, it is particularly when you're talking about predestination. If we are obedient to Him, we are predestined. It's the very same way if you get on I-65 South, you are predestined to get to Nashville if you drive far enough. And why is that? Because that's where that road goes.
If you don't get off I-65.
do what?
If you don't get off I-65.
Yeah, if you don't get on I-65 off. Or if you don't stay until you get to that destination. But why do you get to Nashville? Because that is where that path goes. And in the context of our spiritual lives, if we are obedient to Him, we're predestined because that's where that path leads.
Right. And He made that choice since before the beginning of the world.
Exactly.
Now,
He loved us so much to give His Son for us.
How amazing is that, that He had a plan for us from before the beginning, through Christ, that we would have a relationship with Him. And that does say a lot about His love. But He has given us the power to choose and accept His will and the terms of that plan, or, you know, we can reject it. And that's free will, and that's how we decide what kind of relationship we're going to be in with Him, or if we are not going to be in that relationship with Him. So again, it's something that we all have to figure out for ourselves. Matthew 16:24-25 says that you've got to deny yourself and you've got to follow me. Galatians 2:20 says what? That's one we've talked about a number of times before. What is it? What does it say? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is part of being God's chosen people. That Christ lives through us every day. that when we get ready to go out, we make a conscious choice to be all those things that's reflected in his character. Jim Whiteside over here. Oh, that's a good point. Hebrews 13, where it says brotherly love, let it continue. There's been those that have entertained angels unaware. So again, you know, how we go about judging people, the kinds of things that we do, how we live, and if the perfection of what he expects us to be committed to is really realized through how we live our lives every day. And again, I'm not going to get through all of what I wanted to talk about tonight, because time is quickly running out, and I really appreciate everybody's comments, but we will keep rolling here. I mean, you get the idea. I mean, the bottom line is we have to decide what we're going to act like every day. And if we're going to be part of God's chosen people, we understand that is God's grace comes to us through the blood of Christ. God's grace and our salvation and being predestined or God's chosen people can only happen through the grace of God, but the blood of Christ and his resurrection. And so do we really think about that? Do we think about the fact that all that has been done was done for us, and we need to reflect a life that says that we understand that every day to the very best of our ability? And are we living in him the way that he would have us to live? If you look at verses 8 and 9, and that also Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, he's talking about how we develop wisdom and prudence. What is wisdom and prudence? What's wisdom? Knowledge applied. Thank you. And what is prudence? What is it? What's that? Being careful? Wisdom applied. Making good choices. You know, it's all of those things. And so through a relationship with God and the Holy Word given to us by the Holy Spirit, penned by inspired men, we have the opportunity to know God's will and what he wants us to do. That's how we make good decisions every day. That's how we get up and choose to put on love and forgiveness and humility and forgiveness and all of the character traits that we talk about that was in Christ that we needed to have in who we are as well. In verses 10 and 12, to David's point a while ago, everything happens in God's time. I think about 2 Peter, the third chapter? It's the second chapter. Is it the second or third chapter? Hang on. Yeah, it's the third chapter, verses 8 through 10. And it talks about the fact that the way God counts time and the way we count time is two different things. And it's all going to happen in his time, and he knows what that time is going to be, and we don't. But what he does expect for us to do is to trust in him and to the very best of our ability live in a way that he would have us to live so that we can be with him for eternity if we commit ourselves to doing what he would have us to do. Believing in Christ seals us through the Holy Spirit of promise. Believing requires obedience. We've got to hear. We've got to believe. We've got to repent. We've got to confess. We've got to be baptized to receive the promise. And those verses basically say that it only comes after we do those things. And that earnest payment that we have toward the promise of God is what has been given to us through the sacrifice of Christ. And then we have to be committed to what he expects of us. Another verse that we look at in Romans, the 8th chapter in verses 26 through 30, talks about who we are, what we are, how we go about living our lives. And if we are predestined and how we let ourselves be the people that God would have us to be through our character every day. And we can be comforted in knowing that we have that relationship with God through Christ if we give ourselves the way that we should. And really, we have to do it for ourselves, but we also have to do it to try and encourage and help one another as well. And so that means you encouraging me and me encouraging you, you helping me if you see me in a bad spot, me helping you if I see you in a bad spot. That's what us helping each other get to heaven is all about. Okay, Travis, lesson 2.7 on Sunday morning.